Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
So this probably isn't your first of the pre-war business episodes that I've done, and if it is, welcome, I'm glad to have you, but you've probably seen a trend with these episodes. Well, first of all, I'm going through them alphabetically, so I'm not exploring a map, I'm just going through every one of them, starting with A, and we're now in the Fs. But what that means is that I'm often surprised when doing research for these episodes about what we're going to get. Sometimes we get one of these businesses that is super important and has tons of lore, and it's this meaty find, and it takes up a majority of one of these episodes. But other times, we get lots of little mentions, little tiny bits of information with like a logo here, or just one sample of their product in one place somewhere, or a sign on a building with very little of anything else. And those are interesting too, but in their own ways. And in this episode, we have a number of these, well, lesser known businesses. Let's call them that. They may have been substantial companies if we get more information about them in the future. But for right now, we only have some minor references. And so I'm going to dig into these as best I can, and most of these you probably will not have paid much attention to at all while playing the games. So if you do recognize some of these, and some of them are more recognizable than others, but if you recognize all of these, then you have absolutely paid a lot of attention to every little thing that you find in the games so far. So congratulations to you. But here, let's fill up our glasses and cheers to Falmouth Winery to get us started.
You gaze upon one of America's greatest minds, preserved through the miracles of science!
You know how when you start a job, there are the things you expect to do in that job, and then there are other things that you end up doing more than you expected? Well, reading words, obviously, is something I have to do as a podcaster, but I don't think I realized how often I have to read words and then go, wait a minute, how is that pronounced? Falmouth is the name of the winery, F-A-L-M-O-U-T-H. But in my brain, I want to say like foul mouth, because that kind of sounds funnier. And it seems like a reference here, like a pun, like a play on words. But really, it's most likely, based on just a little bit of research that I've done on this one, a town in Massachusetts. And yes, there is a real world foul mouth winery from Massachusetts, the Cape Cod area, foul mouth, Massachusetts. So this is a real world reference. I'm just not familiar with it. I don't drink much wine, so I mean, I can't think of the last time I even had any wine. And this one is particular because it makes sense for showing up in Fallout 4. It starts with Fallout 4 and also is in Fallout 76. And so the Massachusetts thing totally tracks with other types of things that show up in Fallout 4 because they are referencing the area that that game is based on. So that totally makes sense. But what's interesting here, and one of the trends that we've seen, is that usually it's the earlier games that have references to real-world businesses that then get used just wholesale or kind of referenced in the games, and then the later games do that less often, probably for, I don't know, trademark or copyright reasons or anything like that. Well, this isn't one of those. This shows up in the later games, and at least the name feels like it's a direct pull from the real-world company. Now, where does it show up in the games? Well, you can see it on the labels of some bottles where it will say simply Falmouth Winery in this kind of fancy font. And then it'll say Merlot because that's the only version that I've seen in the games, and the year 2060. And as far as I know, that's all we have about Falmouth. Maybe it's pronounced Falmouth. I don't know. If you live up in that area or you're a wine connoisseur and you know, send me a comment. Let me know how that's pronounced. But that's about it. That's all we get for this one little winery that clearly existed before the bombs dropped. Now, I mentioned in the intro to this episode that chances are you haven't heard of most of these companies that we're covering on this episode, but this one you absolutely have. This is probably the standout, but surprisingly, the amount of lore information on this company is actually quite small. When I say Fancy Lads Snack Cakes, you probably go, oh, I know exactly what those are. I collect them all the time. I eat them in the games. I saw them in the TV show. Yes, they are all over the place. And there's a reason for that. First and simply, you need objects in the game that you can interact with. And a number of those objects have to have useful abilities, right? So not just something that you pull apart for parts to build a wall in your base or something like that, but utility that beyond that. Traditionally in RPGs, you have things you can find that restore your health or buff your character or whatever. And so having lots of different types of food that you can come across in the world to help refill your health totally makes sense from a gameplay standpoint. Now, most of that food also has to play into the lore and be able to exist 200 plus years after the bombs dropped, which means that you're not going to find, say, I don't know, applesauce, at least regular, actually made with apples, applesauce 200 years later, because that would have gone bad very quickly after the end of the world, I'm putting in quotes. But when it comes to food like Fancy Lad's snack cakes, it's so full of sugars and preservatives that it doesn't go bad. It's basically, I'm going to get sued, but it's basically the Twinkie of the wasteland, I guess, in more ways than one. Or the cockroach compared to the nuclear explosion, right? Like they still survive the explosion, that sort of thing. But yeah, Fancy Lad snack cakes show up everywhere. And I'm sure you're somebody who can picture these in your head, even. You can just think of the way the package looks. I don't have to describe that to you. But here's some other things that are interesting about it. Did you actually look at the packaging? Have you read the information around Fancy Lad's snack cakes? Did you know that they were bringing Fancy Lad snack cakes to all the fancy boys and fancy girls? That's right. You can hear that in their radio slogan. On the billboards that advertise them, you can see a different slogan. It says, "A big delight in every bite. America's favorite snack food." You can see the box with all the little individually packaged cakes in the TV show, in the bin of things that Maximus gets when he and Lucy are inside that vault. Remember when he takes a shower, he puts on a robe, and he starts eating all these foods that he's never eaten before? Well, that was one of them. And as for the origins of when this shows up in the games, it starts with Fallout 3. So this has been a staple of the Bethesda list of products that show up in these games, but definitely not a staple food unless you, want to die an early death of diabetes or something. But I mean, if you're in the wasteland, you're going to take what you can get. But yeah, it starts with Fallout 3. We find these in New Vegas 4 and 76, but they did not exist in Fallout 1 or 2 or Tactics or Brotherhood or any of those other older games in the series. Now you might be wondering, does this show up anywhere else? Do we come across, say, a manufacturing center or trucks with the name on the side because they were shipping a bunch of these to grocery stores or something like that and then got run off the road and the bombs fell or something? No, as far as I know, there aren't any other references outside of the products that usually show up in the games. But I know of at least one reference by a character in the games, which it's always fun. It's always fun to hear characters talk about the things that you're interacting with in the world. And it comes from a King's gang member in Fallout New Vegas who says, "Man, I'm hungry and I'd give anything for a Fancy Lad." Wait, I mean, you know what I mean. So yeah, that feels like a very Fallout New Vegas kind of quote, if you know what I mean. There is one other reference in the Fallout role-playing game rulebook on page 153. And this is the quote from that rulebook. "Small, frosted cakes so laden with sugar and other sweeteners that they're essentially preserved forever. Proclaimed in advertising to be America's favorite snack food, these cakes can be found across the wasteland in many teeth-achingly sweet varieties." Now let's talk about the concept of these being, well, always able to be eaten. And that actually does have a little bit of conflicting lore. We have some other references in the games. Nate or Nora, depending on who you're playing as at the beginning of Fallout 4, before you leave your house, when you're looking around, you can look at the food and you get this quote. "Instamash, Fancy Lad snack cakes, Blamco mac and cheese, expires in never." Now, is that a reference to all of them never expiring? Or is this just a reference to the last thing on the list not ever expiring? Like, imagine you're looking at a bunch of things and that's the last one you're holding and you read the expiration date on that last one. That feels more accurate to me, but some people have interpreted this as meaning that all of these things, Instamash, the snack cakes, Blamco mac and cheese. None of these things expire ever, which also makes sense because you can still eat these things later. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily taste good. Because we have in the same game a reference from a terminal entry in Vault 111 that says this: December 25th, 2077. Christmas Underground got together with the rest of the security boys and support staff and had a little party. Best gift that got handed out was a fancy lad snack cake that wasn't too stale. This is December 25th of 2077, just a few months after the bombs dropped. But stale doesn't mean not edible. And so I think that's the difference here, is that there are enough preservatives in this type of food that means that you can still eat it later and get some nutrients from it, but they probably don't taste fresh. And that tracks. That makes sense. But what do you think? I mean, we don't have definitive information here. It's not like our characters go, that tastes good every time we eat one or something like that. And as for other information about this company, like where they manufacture these, where they're based out of, who runs it, any of that information, we don't have. So maybe we'll get more about Fancy Lad's snack cakes in the future. Now, there is one other thing about this company that I find interesting, and it has to do with the name, Fancy Lad. Lad is not a word that we use in the United States very much. Obviously, we know the meaning. It means like a small young boy or something like that. But this feels either like it's a company that was international and doing something in a fancy sort of, I don't know, British sort of way, because that feels more British English to me. Or it is a company that's specifically branded around doing something that feels non-domestic in order to make it feel fancier. But we also know that the United States was very, very insular at the time, especially going up to the bombs dropping. And so it makes me wonder, why would we have products like this that reference things that don't feel as American during a time that was extremely nationalistic? So I think it's one of those things that, you know, slips through the cracks, or like in our own reality, if you actually look at it long enough, you go, wait, that doesn't make sense, but it doesn't matter. People just accept it as what it is and they don't really care that much. So maybe it's something like that.
Oh, I don't know anything, mister. I just think it. And then I don't.
Next up is a little company called Fantastic Tours. Now, you've probably not heard of this, or at least you don't remember hearing about this. They have a singular product, one thing that they've made that we know about, and it is the Tourmaster 3000. Now, the only place that we come across this that I'm aware of is the Grandchester Mystery Mansion. And the reference here is from a terminal entry at that mansion. Now, you might remember the Grandchester Mystery Mansion from playing the games. I also did an episode about how the character who murdered her parents, the ghost that you find here, was based off of Lizzie Borden in the real world. But here, let's talk about the terminal entry. If you look at the terminal and you just look at the information about the things you're reading, not the actual text entries, there's entries by Zachariah and all of this. It's not mentioned in those. It's not mentioned by a person. It's part of the information that describes the terminal itself and the software built for the terminal. At the very top, you can see Grandchester Admin. Then below that, Tourmaster 3000 Copyright Fantastic Tours. So clearly, this is a product copywritten by Fantastic Tours, who is the company who makes it. That's it. That's the only reference we get about Fantastic Tours at all, as far as I'm aware of. And you would think that this is a part of the Nuka-Cola expansion to Fallout 4, and Nuka-Cola is a tourist destination, a theme park with all sorts of other things like tours and places in the theme park that might need software like this. But it was only incorporated in this one section outside of the park. And I don't think that reflects on Fantastic Tours so much as it does the way that the game is designed. My sense of this is that whoever designed this section of the game, specifically the Grandchester Mystery Mansion, needed to come up with some sort of descriptor in the terminal that showed that this was something that was pre-made by a company for touring the location in order to kind of fit the setting of why that software would be running in those terminals. And they just added this in as on a whim. I just kind of made it up on the spot. And it wasn't something that was then distributed to other designers who were doing different sections of the game. And it's not something they pulled from the other games as well. It's just in the Nuka World add-on for this one location. So my sense of this is these little tiny add-in companies often are just the ideas spawned in one designer's brain and then get worked into the game. And then probably most of the other designers on this project who have done other sections of the map and other locations have no understanding or no realization that this company exists at all, unless it's like added into some database that they're working on internally. But I kind of doubt that. A lot of game developers work in ways where you don't necessarily do that for little bits of details like this. But here it is. There's a company that exists, and this is all we know about them. So I'd be surprised if this shows up again, but it might. You never know. So there you go. A fun little find. Fantastic Tours. I feel like there's something universal about just being a human being in the 21st century and struggling with weight. I know it's something that I've had to deal with, and I go in and out of exercising more and having a better diet, and then I ruin it by eating more pizza and tacos and whatever else. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. And diet and exercise are great, but sometimes you need a little bit more. You can lose 20% more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise with Wegovy at Hims. It regulates your appetite so you eat less, and Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles. You can get everything through Hims, so it all happens online. You'll be connected with a licensed provider who helps determine if this is the right treatment for you, and if you're prescribed, your medication is delivered directly to your front door. No insurance is necessary. There's a range of GLP-1 options, and they give you a lot of extra support with 24/7 messaging, team care, in-app lifestyle and nutrition support, recipes and meal plans. They're not just going to sell you the product. They're going to support you and make sure that you do what is right for you. So are you ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/falloutlore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/falloutlore. hims.com/falloutlore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com. So it feels like on every one of these episodes, we get some sort of ammo manufacturing company that shows up and does like one thing. We had BBs last week. This week is no different, although this company is a little bit different than some of the ones we've talked about. Federal Cartridge. Now, this clearly is a pre-war manufacturer of ammunition and shows up in Fallout New Vegas, starting with the Honest Hearts DLC. But then also, you can see them on the TV show. So in Honest Hearts, you can find Sovereign Hollow Point 50 Central Fire cartridges packages. There's little boxes full of ammo. And then on the bottom front of it, you can see manufactured by Federal Cartridge Company. But it looks like the name is Sovereign because that's what the big logo is, has a big S. But that seems more like it's a brand than the company because clearly it says manufactured by Federal Cartridge. Or maybe this is a sub-brand of or a sub-company of a larger company, something like that. But Federal is mentioned there, and it's the only thing that I can find. And specifically just the .45 hollow point rounds. That's all that we have in the games, as far as I'm aware. But in the TV show, we have a very different looking package, but with the same name. It says Federal Special Target Load. And the rest of the text on the box is at kind of an angle and it's hard to read. It looks like it references again at the top, Federal Champion Target Load or Federal Special Target Load, something like that. And I say champion because it might be champion because there is a real world Federal Champion ammunition for shotguns. And if you look at a real world box of these, it looks very similar to the one we get in the TV show and maybe is exactly the same, but it's hard to tell again because the information is at kind of an angle and it's fuzzy, especially when it gets to the smaller details. But it does look like it has A broken shotgun clay target, like you would shoot on a range where they toss the targets up in the air and you shoot them. It's about the same thing. Now, underneath that, though, we can see in a very similar place a warning. I can make out warning. And in the TV show one, you can't tell what the rest of the text says. In the real world one, it says keep out of the reach of children. And it's stacked in the same way. So it looks like it's basically the same design. And then on the bottom right, another set of text that you can't read in the TV show, but the real world box says 25/12 GA shotgun shells. So here's my guess about what's going on. The ammo mentioned in Fallout New Vegas, Federal cartridge, and the Federal brand that we see in the TV show are not exactly the same thing. They are not the same company because the one in the TV show doesn't say cartridge. First of all, it's a different type of ammo. We've got shotgun shells as opposed to .45 hollow point ammo. And the one in the TV show is very clearly either a slightly changed or not changed at all actual real world ammo box. And it just happened to be in the background and have the word Federal on it. And so therefore it gets associated with the same or similar sounding company name in the games. So there you go. Now, does Federal cartridge have any other information? Of course not, because it's on this episode of the show where we get so little information. We don't have a manufacturing center. We don't have any other types of ammo, and it doesn't show up in any of the other games except for Fallout New Vegas. And again, this is as far as I can tell. So if you have more information about this than I do, I would love some more information. But for right now, that's all we have about Federal cartridge, and maybe it's showing up in the TV show. All right, so let's head back over to Fallout 4 and talk about Fission Pal. Yes, Fission Pal. I have a feeling you know where this is going. Let me read the one reference to Fission Pal in Fallout 4. Again, very small references here, very little information about the company. Here's what we get. This is in a terminal entry at Cambridge Police Station. Case 772-RE, Nielsen Reckless Endangerment Logs, Evidence Log Entry CHNE-00, Object, 2 times spool, 200-inch copper cable, status, in Cambridge Police Evidence, -S01A28, and then the next entry. This is where the reference is. Now, you're getting the pattern here. These are very, very minor references. Evidence log entry CHNE-01, because they start counting at zero like programmers do. Object 3x or 3 times, quote, Fission Pal home nuclear reactor, status transferred to hazardous materials disposal unit.
Oh, that gives me an idea.
But you just show up like out of nowhere. What are you doing?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, and probably most people didn't notice because they get to the end of the show and they just turn off the episodes, but I was working on something at the end of the last episode.
Wait, what?
Yeah, after the outro and all that. You didn't hear it?
Yeah, no idea, BuddyBot. But hey, I got more stuff to talk about, so whatever you're working on, just go do that, okay?
All right, I'll see you at the end of the episode.
I have no idea what he's talking about. Anyway, that's the second entry in this terminal. And then the third entry talks about a bag with the remains of a home stereo system. And that's it. This is just information from a police log. And when I say that's it, that's it. We get no other references to Fission Pal, but it is an amazing idea. A home nuclear reactor to help power your home. Now, if you live in a place like Florida, like I do, you may have a generator in your garage or wherever. We don't really have basements here because the water table's too high. But that is not an uncommon thing to have something for when the hurricanes hit and they break all the power lines and you need some power for a few days. You run a generator and you typically you power it with like natural gas or gasoline or something, but not nuclear power because we don't have that in the same way that they do in the Fallout universe. But this is really interesting. This is a company that was selling portable home nuclear reactors. Now, I shouldn't be too surprised about this because we know that many of the cars became powered by fission. And so this would be kind of a similar thing. And if you know anything about home generators, they are basically car engines that are put in a different box and then connected to your grid or whatever. And then they power your house when you need it. And they're loud, like a car engine. a fission pal would be kind of the same thing, but in the Fallout world. And what I'm so surprised about here is it's such an obvious idea. This feels like something that absolutely fits the lore of Fallout, and you would find everywhere, or at least remnants in specific locations, maybe in big office buildings, because they need some sort of power backup for if the grid goes down, you would have something like a fission pal or a fission pal adjacent kind of product that's bigger and runs an entire office building. But we don't see those very often. And I talked about it earlier, how some of these ideas just show up because it's a developer working on one thing. My guess is whoever was writing the police terminal entries just got creative and added some stuff. But this idea is brilliant and could be used to build gameplay around. If you came across these generators in the open world, well, you don't need like the traditional red barrel thing that they do in video games. And it's like, well, why are there red barrels all around? Well, it's fun to blow them up when enemies are nearby, but there's no real reason for them being there. But what if you had fission pals sitting next to buildings and you could blow them up? What about for something like Fallout 76, where you can build a camp and you need different ways to power it? Well, there are different ways to power it using different types of materials, but why not a fission pal? You come across one in the world and you incorporate it into your camp and it powers things up, or something like that. I don't know. It seems like an untapped idea that could be used in a lot of different ways. And I would love to learn more about the company behind these. Are they part of the grid? Are they run by the government? Are they a startup? Are they kind of like the Pulaski single individual people bomb shelters compared to Vault-Tec, right? Like another idea that does something very similar in a different capacity, but isn't as good. Well, I don't know if Vault-Tec would be considered good, but clearly one person surviving in a little tube isn't going to work out very long. You get the idea. So there you go. Fission Pal. And I love this. Just called Fission Pal. Like it's your little buddy that helps power your home. All right. So one more tiny little detail, tiny little business. And let's head over to Fallout 3's Point Lookout add-on. If we walk down the boardwalk, we can see a little fountain drink company called Fizzy's. You can see the logo up above the, I guess it's a little shop. It looks like a little diner along the boardwalk. And it clearly says in very big red text, Fizzy's, and then fountain drinks. And it has a drink cup. And the same kind of design of that like elongated rectangular kind of art deco kind of thing. And this shows up in one location. It's kind of similar to the other company we talked about a number of episodes ago and has probably a similar context. This looks like either it's a small business that runs these fountain drink locations, or it's a small display that's set up by a larger company that runs the entire location, kind of like those faux restaurants and things that you see at like a theme park. They're not individual companies. They're just owned by the theme park, but they look like businesses. It's probably something like that. And it's a soda stand. They sell soda. And it's Fallout 3. Remember, we don't have all the different types of Nuka-Cola yet. And you can't really go in the location, interact with it, or even find much that remains on the outside. Everything's pretty picked clean, which is typically how these older games lay things out. There's way more things to find at 76 than there is in 4 or 3 or New Vegas. But that's it. We just know by context and the name of the company that they must have sold sodas. So did they have Nuka-Cola or Sunset Sarsaparilla? Possibly. And they're very close to the entrance to Pilgrim's Landing Boardwalk, which is specifically the boardwalk they're a part of. And on the flip side of the building, there's a pizzeria. So if you're thirsty, it's a day on the boardwalk, and you need a drink, head by Fizzy's Fountain Drinks, I guess. This is very similar to the idea that Adam's Child had on the recent patron chat about incorporating a real world kind of beverage company into the games. And this is a little bit different. It's more of a place you walk up and get drinks at a boardwalk and less of a go in the place and look at all the different kinds of drinks you can get. But they're both about soft drinks.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
That's going to do it for our pre-war businesses this week. I'll be back with some more of these in the future. And thank you to everyone who supports the show. If you've been enjoying the show, if you want to just even leave me a tip, it's a wonderful way to just keep the show going and show your appreciation for the hours of content that you've been listening to. Head over to patreon.com/ Fallout Lorecast. Join me for the different tiers. You get ad-free episodes. You don't get nothing. You get stuff. And you can even join us for patron chats. There's different tiers with different stuff. Go check it out. And if I've been helping you get through your days, just consider tossing a little bit into the Patreon. I would really appreciate it. Also, I have to shout out our Sentry bots who sign up at the tier where they get shout outs every week. Germinator, Nova, the Main Monkey, and Ira, thank you so much for your support. And if you'd like to help out in other ways, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read those out on a future episode, or share it with your friends, or just rate the show 5 stars if you're listening on Spotify or somewhere else, or leave a nice comment about something. That would be wonderful. I would really appreciate it. And it does help the show get discovered, because believe it or not, there are people out there who love Fallout who have yet to discover that this show even exists. So thank you for all your help. I couldn't do it without you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and hopefully BuddyBot's not doing something weird. All right, I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Vision Pal. Vision Pal. Doesn't seem like these are easy to find. I need something to power my brain farm. Wait a minute. What if I make my own?